I'm David Martin Davies, and coming up on The Source, San Antonio's Project Marvel has sparked intense debate. Proponents envision a revitalized Hemisphere District featuring improved transit, hotels, convention center expansion, and urban vibrancy, along with a new home for the Spurs. Critics are expressing concern that public dollars are being diverted from urgent city priorities. Moreover, community members express frustration over a rushed timeline, lack of firm cost estimates, and insufficient public input. The city of San Antonio is now addressing concerns about the lack of transparency and public input. The city announced it will be holding 10 two-day community planning workshops, one in each city council district. We're going to hear from the city about these Project Marvel workshops and how you can participate. This is a community conversation. We want to hear from you. Call in at 833-877-8255. That's what's coming up on The Source. But first, this news.
Support for The Source podcast comes from UT Health San Antonio, South Texas' largest academic research institution, where what is discovered in its labs translates into life-changing patient care. More at groundbreakingresearch.org.
Live from the John L. Santico Studio in downtown San Antonio, this is The Source from Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. Project Marvel is a big multi-phase development that includes a new downtown home for the Spurs, revitalization of the Alamo Dome, expanding the convention center, a major hotel, an entertainment venue at the old federal courthouse and a land bridge, and more. Altogether, the vision is for a reinvigorated Hemisphere Park district, and it'll also be the source of new downtown vibrancy. So there's a lot packed into Project Marvel, and there's also a lot of questions around it, mainly how is this going to be paid for? The city of San Antonio is looking for answers about Project Marvel. They want to answer your questions with a series of community workshops. There are going to be 10 two-day community workshops, each one in a city council district. And to tell us more about that, we're joined by Lori Houston, Assistant City Manager for the City of San Antonio. Lori Houston, welcome back to The Source.
Thank you for having me.
Also, Mario Pena, he is the co-founder and partner of Able City. Mario, welcome to The Source.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
And Mark Rodnowski, he is the co-founder and partner of Able City. Welcome, Frank.
Hi, good afternoon.
So, Lori Houston, tell us about these 10-day community planning workshops. You know, that's a lot, these 10-day community planning workshops, not just a one-day workshop, it's a two-day workshop. Why are you doing it this way?
Well, we wanted to make sure that we were able to get to the community and go to where the community is. And the best way to do that was to go to the individual council districts, partnering with that council member, asking them to invite their neighborhood associations and their constituents, and then 2 days, because we want to get as much input in each district that we can. So it's not just one meeting in the evening. There are several meetings throughout those 2 days. We'll have a series of focus groups, one focused on transportation and parking, one focused on housing, one focused on parks and community space, and another one on local business opportunities. So if you have an interest in one of those focus group topics, you're welcome to join that discussion, provide feedback on what you think is important about those topics. But also in the evening, the first night of each two-day workshop, we will have a evening meeting. Everyone's invited, where we will have a tabletop exercise where we first provide a brief overview of the presentation, but then we ask the community, what do they want to see? What do they want the sports entertainment district to feel like? How important is it to be accessible and to feel like San Antonio, like having more dough, having more Bombay bicycles, bicycle club, versus having a Yard House or a Cheesecake Factory? Really getting their feedback on the look and feel of the sports and entertainment district, as well as answering the questions that we've heard throughout the community.
So, Frank, it's a two-day workshop, so that's a lot of time. Are you expect people to show up and spend all 2 days at these things?
No, that's the reason we have expanded the two-day workshop. It gives everybody an opportunity, depending on what time of the day they can come. There's a schedule that's on the website, which highlights all of the different events, but there'll be community groups and public workshops, and you just can walk in on your own and ask to speak to somebody that's there to express how you feel or what your questions might be regarding the Sports and Entertainment District.
So someone who wants to participate, they say, I have kids, I've got work, I got all these things, but I don't have time, I can't spend 2 days, but I do want to go, that's still an opportunity for them to go and get a lot out of this.
Absolutely.
And participate and have their voice heard.
Absolutely, yes.
Okay, and so, Mario?
Sure, just the idea of inviting families to participate. It's a demographic that we have probably the hardest time bringing to community meetings. That stage in your life, you're busy, you're making dinner, you've got your hands full. And so first and foremost, that first night, we're making sure that we have enough of a healthy and substantial snack where you can go in and eat, feed yourself and feed your family. So we really invite families to come along. There'll be coloring activities for young people to come and just have some fun at the event and participate in something civic. And there's room at the table, right, for kids to participate in the same discussion. So we really want to make sure that everyone knows that that first meeting is very family friendly. And we've thought about how we can make that available for everyone, for someone who might be worried about making dinner, feeding their kids. So we've planned it that way. Plus, we've got a variety of different events through the 2 days where if you want to plug into something more quiet and you just prefer a more of a one-on-one setting, you can come in the open house the next day and talk to one of our designers. So different formats for different people is really what we were trying to design.
Now there's a dedicated project website, sa.gov/sportsdistrict. That's one word, sports district. Is that new today? Is that live today?
Yes, it is.
So it's brand new.
Yeah, it became live about 2 weeks ago.
Okay. All right. And so on this website, there's all the information, but there's also an opportunity to weigh in online. There's a online survey people can take.
Yes. And there's a video before that survey. So hopefully a lot of your questions you have are answered through that video, and then you can take the survey. We also have an archive of all the presentations that we've done to City Council and to the public, as well as a FAQ. So all the questions we've heard about who's paying for it, why do we need to do this? How are you going to handle parking and transportation? Those questions are
We still
answered.
Have those questions.
And you we may still have those.
I've already answered them, but I still want to have.
We have great ideas.
All right. Yeah. So we're going to get into all those other things. That's what a lot of our listeners are very, very curious mm-hmm. about. But having not everyone can go to the two-day workshops, and there are four of them that are tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And we'll go over the details of that. And those are also posted on our website at tpr.org. But, that survey is an opportunity for people to participate who can't go to the workshops.
Yes, absolutely.
And so, and you're asking people to do what? What do you want to hear from?
We really want to understand their concerns about the Sports Entertainment District. And also we're trying to find out information about would they consider park and ride as an option to get to the Sports Entertainment District.
And what's keeping them from considering those options?
All right, And there's a lot of questions about, like, how will this benefit the entirety of the city? This is the whole city has to buy in on this.
Absolutely.
So someone says, I don't go downtown, I don't live downtown, this is not my deal. So people are probably asking mm-hmm. about those types of things. All right, so we're going to take a break here. So with us in the studio, we're talking about the Project Marvel. You have an opportunity to call in and ask your questions. The number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. There are 10 two-day community forums that are going to be starting tomorrow that will be going into the community, asking people to have their say about Project Marvel and weigh in on this and what are their questions. There are four tomorrow at the Wheatley Heights Sports Complex. There's one at the Palo Alto Azona Library, the Progreso Hall for District 5 on Guadalupe Street, and District 7's St. Paul Community Center on Donaldson. So, and there's more as well coming up, as we're going to get into those. You can call in 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK, and the Source continues right after this.
Support for TPR comes from Texas Mutual Insurance Company, a workers' comp carrier dedicated to handling claims proactively and a commitment to helping injured employees and workers' comp policyholders get back to business. TexasMutual.com/claims.
I'm W.F. Strong. I'm host of Stories from Texas and commentator for the Texas Standard. One of the great minds in our history was Daniel Webster, and he used to say, if you want to be wise, there are several ways to get wisdom. He said there are really three ways you can do it. You can travel a lot, and that can give you wisdom. And you can read a lot of books, and that can give you wisdom. Or you can converse with people of learning and knowledge and expertise. And so public radio gives you that latter thing where you are in a kind of conversation with the brightest minds of many, many different fields. And that's what I think is so valuable. And if it were to go away, that would be an incredible tragedy. You can support and defend public radio by donating to TPR.org. Thank you.
You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about Project Marvel. Residents of San Antonio have a chance to have their say. There are 10 community workshops that will be happening over the next 3 weeks. Four of them are tomorrow. We have a list of them on our website at TPR.org, and we'll be going over them as well throughout the hour. With me in the studio is Lori Houston, Assistant City Manager for the City of San Antonio. Mario Pena, he is the co-founder and partner of Able City. And Frank Rotnowski, he is a co-founder and partner of Able City as well. And you can call in 833-877-8255. And let's go to Molly. And Molly, you're on the air. Molly, go ahead.
Hi. I'm a chronically homeless policy advocate, and I want to know why is a Spurs entity, which is a with a net worth of $1 billion agency, wanting to borrow public tax money upwards of $3 million for a toy that they're just going to be abandoning later, as they always have done in the past. I'm born and raised in San Antonio, so I know what I'm talking about. And
all right, Molly.
Trail projects abandoned in our city.
Okay, Molly, thank you for that. Appreciate it. So there's a lot in that question, and it kind of shows where people are thinking. And she's talking about taxpayer dollars. Right now, so let's talk about which taxpayer dollars are being used here.
Okay. Well, first, I want to stress that, you know, the Spurs are part of our DNA. They've been part of San Antonio for over 50 years. And we want to make sure that they stay a part of San Antonio. Now, one of the things we're doing is we are hoping to relocate the Spurs from the Frost Center to Hemisphere to be more accessible for the community, have other opportunities to partake in before and after the game. But how are we going to pay for that? That's a very good question. And the majority of the funding for the Sports Entertainment District will come from the tourists. The City of San Antonio, Bexar County, and the state collect a tax from those that stay in a hotel or rent a car. And those taxes that each of those entities collect will be able to be used to help with the Sports and Entertainment District. Those taxes cannot be used to assist with homelessness. They cannot be used to help with our roads. They are limited to tourism activities. The other portion that will pay for this are the Spurs. The Spurs are going to be paying a major contribution to the actual arena. And then you have the developers. The developers that develop in Hemisphere, none of them will receive a tax exemption or an abatement. They are going to be paying full taxes as well as paying ground leases. And those ground leases and those taxes will also be used to help support the arena. And then the final component definitely will be coming from philanthropy in the private sector. The City of San Antonio and the Spurs, we don't have to build this district on our own. There are naming rights opportunities. The proposed hotel or the John Woods Courthouse, those are opportunities that can be led by the private sector. And when we say private sector, that also means funding from the private sector. So the majority of the funding for the proposed Sports Entertainment District will come from tourists, developers, private sector, and the last component, and I believe the last component will be the ground leases and philanthropy.
So there's also a project finance zone that's been authorized by the Texas legislature. That's hotel-related taxes as well. That's within a three-mile radius of this project. Is that what you can – that's separate and different than the hotel, the hot tax?
No, that is basically taking the portion of the hotel occupancy tax that the state collects. And so when you pay your bill at a hotel, there's about a 16.75% tax that is paid that is referred to as the hotel occupancy tax. 9% goes to the city, 1.75% goes to the county, and 6% goes to the state. What the state has agreed is that they will rebate the incremental value that the state receives from hotel properties and retail within that hotel within a three-mile radius. So it is the hotel occupancy tax, but the project finance zone is the tool that allows the state to rebate that incremental value back to that zone that was created to be used for convention facilities and other eligible projects.
All right, let's go to another caller. And if you want to join in, the number is 833-877-8255. And we have Mike. And Mike, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Yes, I signed the COPS Net Trail pledge to vote against Project Marvel. And I'd like the opportunity to be able to do that on the city ballot in November. It looks like I'm going to be able to vote against it on the county ballot, but I want to make sure I vote against it on the city ballot too.
All right, Mike. So where is there an opportunity to have a city ballot? Let's go before voters.
The only portion of the funding for the sports entertainment district that will come from your residential taxpayer in the city of San Antonio is in the form of a general obligation bond that will go to the voters in November, but that bond is specific to infrastructure to support the district. And it's not to support infrastructure that is needed for the new district. It really is to support infrastructure that is needed today. So for example, the Alamo Dome. When you have a Sting concert and a Billy Joel concert, or Jelly Roll and Post Malone, traffic gets backed up in downtown and along 37, and people are oftentimes late to these events, sometimes an hour and a half. If you get stuck down in traffic, it is about an hour, and that's really because the Alamo Dome was built over 30 years ago, and the ingress and egress infrastructure hasn't changed much, but what has changed is the city of San Antonio has grown. And we are having more activity in our downtown. And so we need to make sure that the infrastructure is upgraded to reflect the activity that we're seeing today. If you could solve for the infrastructure for a 65,000 seat Alamo Dome, then we can solve for the infrastructure for this entire district.
When you talk about infrastructure, does that include the land bridge, or I've also seen it described as the park above I-37?
You know, the first phase of the infrastructure, so what you'll see on the November 2025 ballot is primarily intersection changes, primarily Cesar Chavez and IH-37. You're going to see some parking garages. You're going to see some street improvements along Cesar Chavez. You'll see timing signal changes. You'll also see pedestrian improvements for pedestrian activity and connectivity to and from the neighborhoods and other parts of downtown. There is a small portion of the land bridge that is being funded right now, but that is through a federal grant we received from the Federal Highway Administration. That grant is to pay for the design and planning. We do not have the cost to construct the land bridge in the proposed 2025 November election. That will come in a later phase.
Let's go to the next caller, Edward. Edward, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, David Martin. Been a while. So, lovely topic. I would like to say, I think I'm the first person, I am generally supportive of Project Marvel. I am now more supportive, ma'am. I don't know your name, but I tuned in a little late because the way y'all are financing this, from what I'm understanding and read and heard today, is nothing short of clever. You guys have a smart team. Like, for instance, if the previous caller votes against the only thing he can vote against, which is building garages for the existing infrastructure, come on. That's how you know that there's a problem with how people are viewing this project. I do have a comment or question or both wrapped up. Are there any plans to incorporate light rail, commuter rail? There's a rail line right there that Amtrak is on. Second part of that, if yes, I don't know. I'm willing to say anything and everything I can to convince you not to incorporate rail. I know that sounds crazy on a show like The Source, but it's insanity when advanced rapid transit exists and San Antonio is already steamrolling ahead with a great ART plan, ideally that can be incorporated into Project Marvel.
Okay.
You guys have the floor. Thank you.
All right, Edward, thank you for your question and your comment. We appreciate that. So we know that rail's a non-starter in San Antonio. We have passed a charter amendment that basically bans using city streets and breaking city streets for creation of rail. So even if anyone really wanted to do that, if there was that much money lying around to use for something like that, it would just be impossible to do without a change to the charter. But to the point that Edward was making about using the advanced rapid transit that is now being rolled out in San Antonio and these other transit opportunities, what are y'all looking at?
Well, Edward is absolutely correct. We plan on leveraging the Silver and Green Line. The Silver Line is like...
It should be the Silver and Black Line, but, you know, anyway, go
very
ahead.
Very cute. But the Silver and Green Line. The Silver Line is about one or two blocks north of the Hemisphere District, and the Green Line is about 2 to 3 blocks west of the Hemisphere District. We also have express bus lines from Lackland and Brooks, leveraging the existing bus services to get them to the arena, get them to the Alamo Dome. We want to make sure that the bus is the closest mode of transportation that you can use to get to the arena or the Alamo Dome. We want to make sure that the Robert Thompson Center is a center that can be used and easily accessible. We want to make sure that we have a strong park and ride system in all areas of the community so you don't have to take your car and you can park in one of our partner lots and come to the games or come to events and get there early and on time.
Yeah, so the other part that the caller was, Edward was talking about, that he was commenting on how a caller had already decided that they were opposed to this plan. Are you just asking people to have an open mind, or where are you on, you know, when you hear people saying, I'm against it, I'm going to vote against it, I'm not interested in what you have to say. We already had an arena. We went to the east side. That really didn't work out so well. I don't really have a lot of trust in this project. The Institute of Texan Culture was bulldozed and basically in the middle of the night. You have lost my trust. What do you say to those people?
Well, I want to stress that, you know, the Spurs are, you know, part of our culture here in San Antonio. Their current center, while it's a great facility, it doesn't allow that before and after celebration. We want to make sure that we have a public space where people can come and feed off that Spurs energy that we all have. And they don't have to go to the game to enjoy a game night. They can be in the district. They can watch the game in Civic Park on a Jumbotron, get some food with their family, and leave. Also, this is a transformational project. We had Hemisphere, the World's Fair, in 1968. This is very similar to that coming up. We're having such a transformation in our downtown, that benefits the entire community because you're going to receive tax dollars. It'll be the tax dollars that go into the hotel occupancy tax fund. It'll be tax dollars that go into our general fund from the sales throughout downtown. So this is going to lift the community.
Oh, are there any projections about how that would impact downtown, you know, restaurants and businesses?
Well, projections, we will have those available in the next couple weeks to show the overall economic impact to our community. But if you recall the Spurs being here in the 90s, you had people, you know, showing up early, eating in downtown restaurants, eating on the Near East Side. We know that from how we did it at the Alamo Dome that that's absolutely going to happen. But we'll have the actual numbers through a study, and we'll present that to the council in July, early August timeframe.
And so just to review, well, the caller who asked Mike, I think, said, like, when do I get to vote on this on the city ballot? And you're saying there will likely be, you can't speak for city council, they have to make the decision, but maybe something on the November ballot about capital improvements, infrastructure development, which was already being thought about for downtown anyway, but it folds in with Project Marvel.
So. Absolutely. And we cannot do this project without the county funding. So if you vote no for the venue tax funding, that's voting no for the entire project, for the arena.
All right, so that's a big vote.
Absolutely.
All right, so we're going to take a break here. I got some more callers. We'll get you on the air. We want to let you know more about these citywide community workshops that are going to be happening across San Antonio over the next 3 weeks. And you can call in with your questions and comments about Project Marvel. What would it take you to vote yes, vote no, change your mind, have an open mind, get excited, or just you don't want it at all? 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. The Source continues. You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about Project Marvel, which is a big multi-phase development for downtown. The Spurs new home, that's part of it, but it was also the revitalization of the Alamo Dome, expanding the convention center, a new major hotel. UTSA is going to put a college of hospitality there as well. An entertainment venue at the old federal courthouse, a land bridge over I-37 connecting downtown to Eastside. So this is a big multi-phase project that they promises that it will do a lot for downtown and that part of the city. So if you got a question and comment about what's happening here, we want to hear from you. Give us a call, 833-877-8255. The city will be having a series of 10 workshops over the next 3 weeks. Four of them are tomorrow at the Wheatley Heights Sports Complex, the Palo Alto College at their library, Progreso Hall on Guadalupe Street, and also at the St. Paul Community Center at Donaldson and St. Cloud. You can go to these meetings. They're 2-day, but you can come in. You don't even have to live in this district. You can be in a different district, but if the timing works out for you, you can go and participate and do some explaining what it is that you want out of this project. With me in the studio, Lori Houston, Assistant City Manager for the City of San Antonio, Mario Pena. He's a co-founder and partner of Able City. And Frank Rodnowski, he is the co-founder and partner of Able City as well. The number to call in, 833-877-8255. And let's go to Rudy. Rudy, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm calling. Just had a question for you guys. I work downtown. I drive downtown. And every time there's an event at the convention center, take, for example, the bowl game this year, it was gridlock. Like, what are you guys going to do? All of the, what you described as to transportation, it's available now and people aren't using it. The other thing is how is this going to be affordable to San Antonians? The Shakira concert, there were people paying $60 to $80 for parking. What's the city going to do to make this affordable for San Antonians who are going to foot the bill for all this? All right, I'll take the answer off here. Thanks, guys.
All right, Rudy, thank you for that. So, Lori Houston, we have Park and Ride, and that's available. And it seems to be maxed out when I see it.
Well, right now the problem with Park and Ride is they really can't get to the Robert Thompson Center because there's so much other traffic congestion in and around that center. And so the traffic improvements that we're proposing, such as relocating or placing parking away from Cesar Chavez, because right now everyone wants to exit Cesar Chavez and they look for opportunities for free parking in the neighborhoods, or maybe they want to park at the Alamo Dome. We're going to relocate or move parking closer to the River Center Mall, build more parking at the Alamo Dome, and then leverage our parking opportunities closer to La Vieta. For example, if you're coming from Stone Oak, there might be a sign that says Alamo Dome, Arena Parking, Exit Alamo, Houston Street. It's still about a 10 to 15 minute walk if you were to still park within Hemisphere or around Hemisphere, but we're just changing the behavior. The caller also mentioned, you know, these are tools available now. The biggest tool is modifying behavior. We are going to be encouraging people to purchase their parking tickets beforehand. And that may include that if you buy your ticket the day you buy your, you buy your parking the day you buy your actual ticket for the event, that your parking is cheaper. And the closer it gets to the event, the parking gets more expensive. But there are opportunities for less expensive parking as you get further away from the arena or the Alamo Dome. So it will be accessible. But don't forget the park and ride option. By making these opportunities for via buses to use our park and ride and improving that and adding more park and ride locations, you can pay a bus fare of $1.25 and get to the game. The key is making sure that that park and ride is reliable and it gets you there before and gets you home after.
All right.
I also want to mention,
yeah, go ahead.
Just the fact that the Green Line isn't open yet. It will be. Mm-hmm. So that's a major component to the puzzle with VIA.
Yeah, we're getting these new lines developed, and that's changing things. Let's go to Carlos on the phones. Carlos, you're on the air.
Thank you. I guess my question is why should I support anything about the NBA or the Spurs when you don't want me to be a fan? Back in the 90s when you were explaining that, oh, we were downtown having a good time. Yeah, because we became fans when they were showing the games. Every home game was showed on TV. Every travel game was showed on TV. We got to see it all. We became fans. They slowly stopped that, weeding it out. Oh, they'll still pay. They'll still pay. No. And as far as the NBA being my culture, San Antonio, my culture was Taft soccer and Holmes dancing. Because my culture is at home. So please don't think we're monolithic and that we're all lovely San Antonio Spurs wannabes and love it all. So why should I say yes? I realize it could be an economic boom, but I'm still seeing it as a corporate handout.
All right, Carlos, thank you for your call. Appreciate your input on that. So I think we're hearing there is some of the lack of trust people have in this process. We heard a lot of promises with the AT&T Center, the Frost Center development on the east side. It didn't go the way we were told it was going to go. That was a county initiative. Cindy Cryer was county judge and pushed that through. So how do you win over? How do you rebuild trust? You know, do you want to talk about that, Mario?
Sure. Yeah. I guess I first want to say yes. So we've, you know, the history of our company, you know, started in architecture and just, you know, putting buildings down and, you know, and on to the next one. And so we really saw that if we do these things in isolation, it really doesn't do a whole lot to the communities we wanted to help. And so maybe 10 years ago, we pivoted really hard to really go into planning policy. And about a second of doing that told us, you really need to start listening to the public and make it systematic. And build a team that is built to listen and to extract people's opinions. The gentleman that just called, you know, we respect that. I think that's something we expect to hear in all the forums. We're not here to change your mind. Our role is to build trust in this way. We want to make sure you have all the facts, and we want to have a productive discussion about what would make this the best place for you. How can it connect to your life? And you need to tell us how, you know, with the facts in mind, you're part of that conversation. And if at the end of it, you know, we haven't changed your mind, but you've learned something about the project that is a little different than what than before you came into the conversation, then great, then we've done our job. And so thirdly, the other part of our job is that we need to communicate this to our leadership, right? So everything we're reporting and collecting is going to go directly to our council and our leadership to make sure that they are refining and learning from what the community actually is asking for and concerned about, and aspirational about. I think there's a lot of, you know, positive thoughts about this as well.
All right, another caller, Alicia. Alicia, you're on the air.
I'm here.
Go ahead.
All right, I'm here. I got a couple questions. First, so the tourism is on a decline. It's a 7% drop. Hotel sales, room sales, 3% decrease in revenue. So you're wanting to do this, Laura Houston, City of San Antonio, and the assumption that we're going to continue with the city bringing in tourists and stuff. But of course, you know, with everything going on in our country, you know, I see reason why that's down. Second is that, you know, these meetings that you're talking about, Able City, I know you're not familiar with everything in San Antonio, but there have been a lot of meetings about projects that came to the public, but it was already decided. And it was more or less these projects were shoved down our throats, Brackenridge Park in particular. And the thing is, the city doesn't listen when the public says, we don't want that. You know, we don't want this. We don't want another bond project, because if you go to the city's open debts, we have millions of dollars out in bonds already. So why are you going to bring in another bond to pay for this?
All right.
And then when you talk about...
I think we got your point, Alicia. Thank you for calling in. Tourism on the decline, you know, is that true? Is that a problem?
Well, right now, I can see that being a problem, but tourism is cyclical. And we're building this, and, you know, if this will open in 2031 timeframe, you'll have great years for tourism, and then you'll have dips. But doing nothing, specifically as you talk about the convention center, if we do nothing, the jobs and the business that we do get from the conventions will be at risk. And that will impact our local economy. That will impact the businesses on the river. That will impact our hotel sales. So one, we have to do something in the convention center, and that is within the sports and entertainment district. And two, by adding this different level of entertainment through the sports entertainment district, you know, when times are high or when a family is looking at coming to San Antonio or going somewhere else, we have something different to where they can go to the Alamo, and they can also go to a Spurs game in the entertainment district, or they can come to Hemisphere and look at the other activity that's happening. It's something else to do in San Antonio that we don't have.
And the expansion for the convention center means you can have two major conventions simultaneously?
Yes. And so right now our convention center exhibit hall space, it's about 500,000 square feet. We can accommodate one large convention and maybe one large and one small at the same time by adding an additional 200,000 square feet for a total of 700,000 square feet. We can do two large conventions at the same time.
And are conventions dropping off as well?
Currently, we have a good book of business. Conventions book every 3 to 5 years out. And so we are looking at 2028 to 2030 already for conventions. And so we continue to build that business. And if we can tell them that we'll have double the size of convention center opportunities and a sports entertainment district, that will definitely increase the market value for our space.
All right, so we're taking another break. We're going to be right back. We've got a lot of callers on the board. We'll get to them when we come back. If you're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio, talking about Project Marvel and community forums that will be happening over the next 3 weeks. More on that when we come back. Stay with us. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies, and we're talking about these community forums are going to be happening across the city, one in every city council district. They are two-day events. There are four of them tomorrow, and we have a list of them on our website at tpr.org. You can also go to the website that the city has put up for Project Marvel to find out more about that, and that's at, what is the name of that website again? sa.gov/sportsdistrict. It's one word. A lot of information there. If we didn't get to answer your question today on the air about Project Marvel, the answer is probably here as well. But it's really about getting people together to kind of talk about this thing and figure out what do we want as a community so that we can provide jobs, take care of each other, have a good time, have a really cool city. And you can call in. The number is 833-877-8255. And who's next? Robert. And Robert, you're on the air. Robert, go ahead.
Hey, thank you for taking my call. Look, I'm 72. I have worked in the downtown area for 45 years. And, you know, and I keep on seeing, you know, they recently did the convention center, spend a bunch of money. I don't know why they didn't do it right the first time. But, you know, I see this as disrespectful. Disrespectful to our community, because it's all about them in the downtown area. They provide cheap jobs. Cheap labor, and it's about the Spurs. And they already had promised that they were going to do something fantastic over there in the east side. They never did. And they're throwing all these things, oh, we're going to do this improvement and that improvement. And it's nothing but a smoke screen to do this arena, which the downtown's already congested enough. And I think the majority of the people, what I hear is no. Enough is enough. And I hope the city council members and the new mayor are listening to us. We have a lot of other problems citywide where these people that are want more in the downtown area, we need to put a stop to it.
Okay, Robert. Appreciate your call. So the city council, they have to decide, what's the timeline, Lower Houston, on what they have to decide to get on a vote in for November?
So for there to be a ballot in November of 2025, a decision will have to be made in early November. A decision will have to be made in early August. And so we want to make sure that we are getting some public input now. This is not the only time that we will have public input. Public input will be ongoing throughout the project. But getting some public input now about how San Antonians and Bexar County residents feel about the project, what are their concerns? So when we go to council, we can share those concerns and they can make an informed decision on whether or not to move forward and place the infrastructure that is really needed now for the Alamo Dome to be functional on a ballot in November. That would be joined by a Bexar County ballot for the venue tax that would use funding from the venue tax for the arena.
And Frank Nofkowski, co-founder and partner of Able City, the point being that a lot of these projects had already been planned for Hemisphere going back, 15, 20 years ago?
No, they started in 1968. I mean, Hemisphere was the first World's Fair in the southwest of this country. And, you know, don't have them as much as we used to because the world has gotten easier to get around in. But it was only a six-month event. Think about the planning and the investment that went into that project for 6 months. That was in 1968. But this 96 acres has been evolving ever since and changing. And the city did do a plan in 2012 that really focused on the public public aspects of this project, where you can bring in an urban park and, you know, community investments for families and children, which they've been putting in place over since 2012 and continue to do that. And I think a lot of the ask for this phase of the project is the same thing, to continue that effort in revitalizing this area and continuing to revitalize downtown San Antonio.
All right, let's go to a caller, Nancy. Nancy, you're on the air.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I'm hearing kind of the same things that I've, you know, was calling about, is the idea that we always have this over-promise, under-deliver kind of thing here in San Antonio. And also downtown doesn't really seem to be for us. It seems to be more for tourists. You know, when my family comes into town, it's the only time that I go downtown, to show them around. And it really, the last few times I've been, my biggest issue is safety. It doesn't really feel very safe downtown, especially with, you know, little kids. Is there anything earmarked in that budget earmarked for maybe the homeless issues that we're, you know, having and, you know, safety and just kind of cleaning up the spaces that aren't, you know, just the bright and beautiful new buildings, but everything around it. And, you know, if you have to park, you know, 20 minutes away, 15 minutes away, how does that walk look like, from parking uh-huh. all the way to the convention center or the Alamo Dome or the new right. arena? How does that look?
All right. Nancy, thank you for those important questions. Lower Houston, how does public safety enter into this?
Well, Nancy is someone that I would love to have come to one of these community workshops, because that type of experience that she's sharing, we would love to discuss at a table, talk about ideas that can make her journey from a parking garage to the actual game better. We've looked at other stadiums. I know Allegiant Stadium in Las Vegas has the same problem, where they have, you know, these huge garages or huge surface lots, and then walk into the actual arena, it's hot. And so what do? They have misters. They have people out there that are fans kind of cheering people on. There's a lot of fanfare out there to help align, line up that walkway to get you to the arena. And we'll be looking at doing something similar. With regards to safety and maintenance, that is something that definitely have to be part of the planning for the overall sports and entertainment district. We may have to incorporate a public improvement district where the developers within the district pay an additional assessment to pay for additional safety and maintenance above and beyond what the city would normally do to help give this a different level of maintenance that you might see somewhere else. But your concerns are right on, and we'd love to see you at one of these workshops so we can talk about and hear your experiences and learn from them and see how we can mitigate that in moving forward.
And let's go to Loretta. And Loretta, thanks for holding on, and you're on the air.
Hello. I'm sorry. I have a hoarse voice.
That's okay.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, okay? You sound great.
Okay. Okay. So my concern is for the workers. And to the former caller's point about safety and Robert's point, workers need health care, right? I think I have the most recent COVID here. So everyone needs health care, reliable, fair wages that built into the policy, child care, retirement, education incentive, and then lobbying should be built in too to prevent what's going on now, which is deportation of people's families. Mm-hmm. So I would definitely vote for the project if I knew policies related to those who are going to work there are fair and have a long view.
All right, Loretta, thank you for your call, and get well, okay? You sound great, but get well. All right, so Lori, what about, you know, living wage? Mm-hmm.
That's great feedback, and those are things that we can incorporate into a contract with the Spurs for the arena or the sports and entertainment district. Currently, the city incorporates that in our contracts for construction projects and capital projects, and that's something that we can extend in our agreements.
So, Mario Pena, what can people expect if they go to these community forums? Like, what time do they start?
The first night community forum starts at 6. The sign-in process starts at 6, from 6 to 6:15, and then we have a short presentation, about 20 minutes. And then afterwards, we just want to encourage everybody to start sharing at their tables. Depending on how many people show up to the to these rooms, we've got plenty of room for anyone interested, but we will have Able City and city staff table facilitators to just help prompt conversation. Some people sometimes need a little bit of a lead, right, to start a productive conversation about something. But it's an open discussion. And what we want is we want those discussion points, again, concerns, aspirations, ideas, to be written on the maps that will be on the tables. At the end of that table discussion, we will ask a table rep to represent their table, right? So it's sort of a democratic process in mini, you know, where 10 table participants have to elect a table rep and then share the three big takeaways from that table, and they'll share that with the rest of the room. So the experience there of sharing, of collaborating with other residents, right, that have maybe various ideas and aspirations and concerns is important, right? We all learn from each other. At the same time, our facilitators are learning from what they're hearing, and it's all recorded on these maps. And then we will take those maps that evening and into the next morning and do our very best to synthesize all of the concerns and ideas into a draft guiding principles for each district. Those will be posted at the open house the next day, which starts at noon and goes to 7 p.m. so somebody can come after work. And so we're going to post them. And this is a feedback loop of what did we hear you right? Right? Is this what we heard?
And does that go to City Council eventually? All this information is relayed
after we
to
get
them?
The second round of feedback, and then we coordinate all of the 10 districts' draft guiding principles into one document. We'll send that up to Council. But nothing will be lost in the record. Every single bit of every comment will be written down, will be scanned, will be sent. All the raw data will be there to back everything up. So everything that that we're told will absolutely go to council.
All right. I want to thank you, Mario Pena, co-founder and partner of Able City, along with Frank Rotnowski. He is also co-founder, partner of Able City. Lori Houston, assistant city manager for the city of San Antonio. Thanks for coming in today, taking calls, listening to people as they express their concerns about Project Marvel. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks.
That's The Source from Texas Public Radio. Thanks for listening.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. The Source is hosted by David Martin Davies. Tim Gutierrez is the show's producer. Additional production support from Steve Short, Ruben Garcia, Yvette Benavides, and Dan Katz, Vice President of News. The Source is made possible with support from the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.